Thank y'all for that beautiful song this morning, and a wonderful upbeat song that is going to lead us into a section of scripture that cannot always be, it's not always upbeat. I want to invite you into the New Testament. This is what I was sharing with our children this morning, but is a letter that the Apostle Paul writes it's his first letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians. We will start at verse 9. Go down to verse 19, continue through verse 23, and I'm going to be reading from a version of the scripture. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that version. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 19. And this is the Apostle Paul who's writing. He says, "For though I am free with respect to all, I've made myself a slave to all, so that I may gain all the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to gain Jews. To those who were under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those under the law. And to those who were outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not outside God's law, but am within Christ's law, so that I might gain those outside the law. And to the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the tremendous amount of power that comes across as your word. We thank you, O God, that these words have the ability to come to life in our very midst, and we pray and ask that as our hearts come together and as we meditate upon these words, we ask that your presence will become clear to us, that you may guide us into paths of righteousness, that, Lord, that these words will truly become lights upon all of our paths. Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken in my midst. Thank you for the words that you have shared with me, and pray and ask in Jesus' name, O God, that the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Well, these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and the one who saves us. Amen. So y'all do remember, we were just singing just now, "Lord, I lift your name on high." It's a nice happy, it's a nice upbeat song. And, you know, one of those things about it is that even if we forget words to songs, we can remember exactly how they made us feel. We can remember how they make us feel. And so in the midst of that positive, that encouraging moment, especially, I mean, just look out right now. The sun is not out at all. We don't have one of the most amazing things about this worship space is how the sun will come in through there and how it just matches through the season of Easter. But we don't have that this morning. And so in that positive and encouraging way, y'all tell me. Y'all, and you know, you don't have to share it out loud because I would imagine that much like a children's moment, it's probably too much. But y'all tell me, what do churches like to fight about? What are some of the things that people that are inside churches, not just people that are outside churches, but people that are inside churches, what are some of the things that they like to fight about? What are some of the things that they like to go on and on about? What are some of those things that it seems that no matter what denomination, doesn't matter what part of the world or part of the country, that people tend to fight about, that people tend to get in an uproar about? I remember meeting with other pastors when I heard that phrase uproar, and they said, you know, those kind of people that no matter how well or how bad things are going, they just want to cause a little bit of uproar. That's what I'm talking about. You know what happens? As much as we try to deny it, as much as we might try to hide it, you know that it happens. But the good thing about it is that we do have these defenses that, you know, are sort of built into us, these defenses that we learn from a very young age, that we learn as children. We remember those, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We also know that I am rubber and you are glue, bounces off me and it sticks to you. So we know how to sort of defend those bad things that might get said about the church or about people in church or those things that we might get caught up in the midst of fighting. But if we go beyond those childish, there really are childish defenses. But if we go beyond those two levels of defense, what do we do? What do we possibly do? And would it surprise you that in our scripture reading today, that around 55 years, now there's give or take a few years, but around 55 years after the birth of Jesus, around 800 miles, you know, we were singing about Galilee, that place where Jesus lived, that place where he invited disciples to follow him, but about 800 miles from Galilee, where Jesus lived and where Jesus taught, in this Greek Corinthian city that there were already, again, about 55 years after the birth of Jesus, that there's already people who are coming together, and they are fighting about the very things that I was sharing with our children this morning. They were fighting about what to eat and what to drink. Now, if you continue to read this letter to the Corinthians, you will see that they're fighting about much more. You're seeing, and if you are particularly thinking about teaching this to your own children, you will see that it can become extraordinarily difficult to teach about some of the relationships that were happening there to the Corinthians, some of the ways that they were getting entangled with people that they shouldn't be getting entangled with like that. Much more challenging to teach to children. That's why I stuck with the banana, the orange, and the lemon this morning as I was there. Leave that for you as parents to deal with your own children. But imagine that not only in this first letter to the Corinthians, but the Apostle Paul writes a second letter to the Corinthians, and there are divisions. There are fightings. And as it was defined by one of our children, arguing is when we fight with words. This is exactly what was happening. This is exactly what was taking place in the midst of this. And in fact, they would get to the point of being so upset with each other, and this is in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, they would get so upset at each other that they would actually offer lawsuits among people that they went to church with. They would offer lawsuits against those people. And Paul would say, when they were unnecessary lawsuits, he would remind them that you can actually work these things out among yourselves. Now, I know, can be extraordinarily difficult. I was serving a church one time, and there was in this town, there were a couple of hospitals in the town that I was serving at, and the CEO of one of the hospitals was United Methodist, went to church, and pretty regularly went to church. And also, in the same hospital, there was an attorney. There were several attorneys that were part of this church, but there was an attorney whose primary role was to sue physicians and hospitals over medical malpractice. So if you think that reading Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that it's a bit far-stretched, it is not by any means. And so Paul says, in the midst of these kinds of competing factions, Paul says that I've become, which I think is the most extraordinarily, well, transformative part of this entire scripture passage that we have in front of us, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, second part of verse 22, it says, I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. Now, what possible hope do we have of doing this? What possible hope do we have of actually not only reading and memorizing these words, but actually beginning to put them into practice in our own lives? And we may not be CEOs of hospitals. We may not be attorneys that are suing CEOs of hospitals or other physicians, but we do this all the time. There are people that we all have. There are people that we all have that we don't talk to sometimes. There are people that we avoid because they do not like the same things that we like. Does football season ever change the way that we approach certain people in our lives? Does football season and our allegiances that we hold to our different teams, does it ever affect the way that we speak, affect the way that we're around other people? And even worse, are there sometimes people that we don't know how to really bridge that gap to get to the other side with, someone that would really like to get to know a little bit better, but we just don't know how to get there. We just don't know how to get to that other place. We just don't know how to do that, how to be those all things to all people. And in fact, why is Paul doing this? Why is Paul saying that I've become all things to all people? Is it because the Apostle Paul has an extraordinarily amount of emotional intelligence? He just knows how to be kind. He knows how to be polite. Because if you continue to read the Apostle Paul, you'll find that that's not always the case. There are people that he doesn't like. There are people that he discriminates against. In fact, well, what Paul does do, and not only this passage, but continues to do in his first letter to the Corinthians and continues through the second letter of the Corinthians, is he recognizes how important it is that what he is writing goes well beyond him. It goes well beyond the Corinthians, and it goes well beyond about where they find themselves in this particular moment. When Paul says, I become all things to all people, he says, I become all things to all people because of something that God is doing. Because of something that God is doing in this world. Did you notice that? Did you notice in the section of Scripture that we were reading this morning, did you notice what God is doing? Paul says, I have become all things to all people in order that. And I mean, it's a very clear passage. But in order that I might save some. You see what Paul recognizes? As Paul recognized that God is saving people. Paul recognized that God is reconciling people, that God is bringing peace into people's lives, and that through that, God is saving people. And Paul says, you know what? I want to be part of this. I want to be part of the kind of activity that God is doing. I want to be part of what God is doing in the world. Paul wants to work. Paul wants to work with God in such a way that he is part of what God is doing in the world. And in essence, what Paul is doing is he's saying, I am going to be part of what God is doing in this world to change this world. I am going to be part of changing this world that God is doing through the salvation that God has offered through Jesus. That I am going to be part of the salvation that God has freely offered in sending his Son to this earth to live, to die, to be crucified, and then raised from the dead. You see, I remind our children of the table that is in front of us because it is so easy for us, particularly here at Grace Point, to take for granted. It is so easy for us to forget how this invitation of Jesus, because not just that moment that we invite Jesus to come into our hearts and in our lives, and how this invitation of salvation and redemption is not just a one-time event in our lives, but it is an invitation that continues. It is an invitation that continues to expand, that this table is always an invitation, that in fact, that our church is always an invitation to invite all people into this space. Christ our Lord invites to his table. How many of you remember these words when we gather and as our children reminded us as we celebrate the gifts of bread and also of juice and as we celebrate Holy Communion, as we celebrate what God has done through Holy Communion? And one of the things about it is that Jesus doesn't just teach us this, but Jesus showed us. Jesus shows us throughout the Gospels. Jesus shows us throughout the Gospels how to invite everyone to the table, how to invite people into those spaces that people may have not been, and those people that are often ignored, and how to come and how to invite them, and even invite them into spaces where we take our best chili cook-off recipes and we try to share those. Or we invite people into spaces where, well, in a very stressful moment of getting ready to file our income taxes, we invite them to come into a safe place where they can be trusted and where they can be where they can be cared for. You see, throughout, and I think this is what's so helpful about this, because throughout this passage of Scripture is that Paul invites us to recognize the context that we find ourselves in, the context that we live in. What does it look like to live every day with those people who are Jewish? This is very much what the Apostle Paul found himself doing. What does it mean to live every day with those people who are Jewish, who are following kosher laws, who are trying to do all that they can to maintain and keep the law? And then what is it also like? What is it also like to rub shoulders and elbows with those Greek, the Corinthians, those who are Greek, who live outside of the law? Again, Paul says, It is because of what God is doing. Because of the part that God is giving you in this place. Because of the part that God has allowed the Apostle Paul, but even for us. Because of the context, the neighborhoods, the environments, the places we live, the places we work, the places that we play in, that God has invited us into in order that we may save some. And what is so interesting about all of this, what is so interesting about all of this teaching and all of this guidance and direction that the Apostle Paul gives to us about context and about recognizing the importance of the people that we live around is that we all go to places that are not our first choice. We all have moments when we go to places where not only are they not our first choice, but they're not our third, fourth, eighth, ninth, or tenth choice, but we go to be with people that we love and we care about. We support people in moments when we know that we need to cancel our own plans so that we can be with those people that we love and that we care about. We're Southern. We're kind. We're polite. We may offer a bless their hearts every now and then, but for the most part, we're kind and we're polite, right? But how often are we kind and how often are we polite? How often will we go to places that are not our first choice to change the world? Becoming all things to all people in order that someone else may be saved. Along with the context that we find ourselves in and those different people that we find ourselves rubbing shoulders with, elbow to elbow at times, for Paul says, you know, this is a way of life. It's not just the way that Paul is, it's not just the kind of life that Paul is doing when he is in his study, when he is doing that thing. Brady had no idea this morning, but he brought a piece of paper. That's what you write letters with. But it is not just Paul who is writing this letter to the Corinthians. It is not just the way that he behaves when he's writing a letter, when he's leading a church, when he is a missionary to other places. But it is the way that he lives. He says this. He says that not only is it context, but he says that to the weak, I've become weak so that I might gain the weak. And see, you thought, becoming all things to all people in order that some might be saved. You thought that was challenging. You thought that was hard. But then Paul invites us. He says, remember, to the weak I became weak so that I might gain the weak. And I will say some of the most amazing people that have come to me in my own life, they came to me in moments when I was weak. Moments when I didn't know what to do next, when I didn't know the next step, the next direction, moments when I really didn't know what I was doing, they came to me and they met me. There was a time it's when Liz and I were talking about getting married. And there was a time that I told God, well, if I'm going to get married, likely there's going to be a time that I'm going to have children in my life, and probably being a preacher and a pastor is not going to be the best way to be a loving husband and a loving father. As I say, God, you know, being a preacher was probably okay when I was single, but not as a married person. So, God, I'm not going to do that. And there were people that in weak moments that came to me. There was an early morning phone call that I got in another church that I was serving one time early, and you love those. All of us love early morning phone calls, right? An early morning phone call that I got. And the person at the other end, the church member, she told me about a terrible and a tragic fire that had happened among a family. Family was outside the church, family in the neighborhood, in her neighborhood, in her community. And she told me about this. And she says, I want you to know, she says, I'm going to start getting some people and we're going to start gathering some things up for this family. They had small children and they were in the midst of, I mean, it really was. It just happened overnight. They were in the midst of getting sizes and all that, finding out exactly what they needed. She said, I'm going to do this. She said, there's a couple other friends. We are going to do this. And she asked the question early in the morning to her pastor. She said, is it okay if we do it at the church? Very easy to say yes. But I will tell you from that early morning phone call that about 10:30, by 10:30 at the church, as just a few things were there, but there was. There was a camera crew from ABC 3340 that was there, and they were setting up to do a shot, and they were setting up to do a story right there in the church. All because a Christian said, I'm going to do something. Does the church want to be part of it? There's something about us, and it's every single one of us, but there's something about us that when we're weak and when we're vulnerable, we need something to happen quickly. It's undeniable that we need something to happen quickly. Something about us when we finally see the weak. Something about us when we finally have enough eyes to see the weak that are in front of us, the vulnerable that is in front of us. And once we begin to say, is this it? Is this everything we can do? Are we willing to do what the Apostle Paul invites us to do? And are we willing to do not only what the letter that the Apostle Paul invites us to do, but are we willing to do what the Holy Word of God invites us to hide in our hearts so that we can live it out? Are we willing to become like the weak so that we may gain the weak? All of us are going to have moments in our lives when we become extraordinarily weak. And are we willing to also willingly become weak so that we might gain the weak? Or do we hope someone else is going to do it? Someone else is going to call. Someone else is going to start gathering the materials. Someone else is going to do it. See, what Paul asked, and it's a very easy question to ask, but what Paul asked, are we going to join God in salvation? Are we going to join God in salvation, and are we going to join God in mercy? Join God in grace. This is exactly what Paul says when he says that I become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. Is he says that this is the work that God is doing day in and day out. This is not only the work that God is doing every hour and every minute, but this is the work that God is doing eternally. It is the work that God is doing from the beginning of time all the way through the end of time. This is what our Christianity holds together with us, is that God's work happens from the very foundations of the earth all the way until all of us experience the kingdom of heaven together. And so what Paul says, he says, are we willing? Are we willing to become all things to all people in order that we can be a part of God's salvation? Paul says, yes. What do we say? Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, we not only thank you for the mercy and the grace that you show to us, we not only praise you, O God, for those moments that you have met us and you have found us in our own weakness, but we thank you, O God, for your eternal future that unfolds before us each and every day. And as slow as we may be, and as bitter at times as we may be, we ask you to equip us, every single one of us, and most importantly, equip us as the body of Christ to become all things to all people, in order that your people may truly be saved. Lord, equip us to become weak, in order, O God, that the weak may be gained in your holy kingdom. And Lord, as you do, as you prepare and as you equip us, Lord, let us commit ourselves and our lives to serve you and to serve you alone. We pray this together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.